It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths and misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Happy Monday to all of you. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team I work with. That is producer Joe, producer Luke, Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Monday, producer Joe.
Happy Monday, Kim.
And we've got a lot going on this week and a big show planned for you. Check out our website, that is kimmunson.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And the text line is 720-605-0647. I want to say thank you to the Harris family for their goal sponsorship of the show, as well as the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold membership of the show as well. And we rolled out two essays this weekend in the newsletter. The first was by Rick Turnquest, and he has been going through a series on extremely wrong. Last month, he said Democrats and economics, and that really got a lot of traction. And this one, I'm a little concerned that we may have social media tapping it down a little bit, but it's Democrats, exactly wrong, Democrats and human sexuality. So you will not want to miss that. This is kind of out of Rick's wheelhouse. He's normally over on the economy and things like that, but he felt compelled to write about this. So be sure and check that out. And then Nephi Cole with the National Shooting Sports Foundation, we published an essay called The Rifle, which is super interesting. So all of that was in the newsletter, and if you're signed up, you get first look. But those are actually over on the website now. Great America's Veteran Stories that broadcast this last Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m., with Joe Nanello and Henry Jones, and really telling the story about Joe Nanello and Hershey Miyamura, who became friends during the Korean War. They were both POWs in the Korean War. Hershey ultimately was awarded the Medal of Honor. Joe was awarded the Silver Star. It is a remarkable story, and that will rebroadcast this Sunday, 10 to 11 p.m., and then the next Saturday, 10 to 11 p.m. as well. Next thing I want to get to is our word of the day, and it is insatiable. That is I-N-S-A-T-I-A-B-L-E, insatiable. And first definition, impossible to satiate or satisfy. Number two, not satiable, incapable of being satisfied or appeased, very greedy. Number three, not satiable, incapable of being satisfied or appeased, very greedy, as in an insatiable appetite, thirst, or desire. And my sentence is the insatiable appetite for government, cities, counties, school districts, park districts to increase taxes will ultimately tax many people out of their property. Quote of the day from Friedrich August von Hayek, also known as F.A. Hayek. He was born in 1899. He died in 1992. He was an Austrian-British economist and political philosopher who made contributions to economics, political philosophy, psychology, intellectual history, and other fields, primarily Austrian School of Economics. He said, the idea of social justice is that the state should treat different people unequally in order to make them equal. Pretty well nails that. So again, that's F.A. Hayek. This day in history, I just pulled a few because we have such a jam-packed show. But there was a weather event in 1134. A storm flood ravages Zeeland County. I thought that's important.
I don't know where Zeeland County is, though.
I don't either. I thought I needed to check that out. But they did have a weather event. Okay.
Okay.
1789, George Washington transmits the proposed constitutional amendments, the United States Bill of Rights, to the states for ratification. 1853, Austrian law forbids Jews from owning land. I thought, that's interesting. 1901, the first Royal Navy submarine launched at Barrow-in-Furness. And I don't think I would have wanted to be on one of those. 1919, U.S. President Woodrow Wilson has a stroke, leaving him partially paralyzed. 1941, six Paris synagogues are bombed by the Gestapo. And 1941, the Germans launch an attack on Moscow. I thought that was all just pretty darn interesting. So let's see. In the news, as many of you know, Dianne Feinstein passed on last Thursday. And Gavin Newsom has appointed her replacement. And let me get to it. The woman is the head person with Emily's List, which is a far left group that gets Democrat women elected, and one of their primary focuses is abortion, of course. And I'll get the name here for you in just a second. She is the new, or probably going to be the new senator from California. And it is a remark. I guess the positive thing about this is that, in fact, all these radical activists, lily white men, are appointing these radical activists to these different positions of power and moving the country, or moving, for example, California further and further to the left. And California is in deep trouble right now. And so that's one of the first things. Sorry about this. I should have had her name right here in front of me. I will get it here in just a second. But the other thing while we are chatting is that apparently the government has averted a potential shutdown. I cannot believe, honestly, that we have gotten to this point. Thank you. It's LaFonza Butler. And she is the head of Emily's List. And this is from Daily Wire. It says, California Governor Gavin Newsom will reportedly appoint LaFonza Butler, the president of the far-left Emily's List, to replace Senator Dianne Feinstein in the U.S. Senate after Feinstein passed away. Politico broke the news on Sunday evening, which comes after Feinstein died at 90 years old, noting that the appointment comes without putting limitations or preconditions on his pick running for the seat in 2024. This means that Butler can join the existing field of contenders for the party's nominee in 2024. Goes on to say the current contenders for that seat in 2024 include Democrat Representative Katie Porter, Adam Schiff, and Barbara Lee. And various reports published on Sunday before Newsom's selection was revealed indicated that Feinstein's replacement was expected to be sworn in this week. It says this means that California will not only get a black woman senator, but also its first openly lesbian senator, noted journalist Yasher Ali. LaFonza will be the second lesbian to serve in the Senate. Journalists online noted that Butler listed her state of residence on her X account as Maryland. FEC filings from Emily's List record LaFonza Butler's residence as Silver Springs, Maryland, as recently as 31 days ago, said FEC analyst Rob Pyers. FPPC, not sure what that is, and FEC filings indicate that soon-to-be California Senator LaFonza Butler hasn't been a resident of the state for over 2 years. This is going to get interesting. But you talk about a political, instead of something on merit, it is clearly a political pick, which I guess it probably normally would be. So let's see. Next thing that I wanted to just mention is somebody sent this over to me regarding this Douglas County new tax increases that are being proposed. As many of you know, I am opposed to these new taxes at this time because I just think people are getting taxed way too much. And so interestingly, and I find this very, very frustrating, is that we're seeing these school districts and the schools in them are using their microphone and taxpayer dollars to promote a tax increase on the people. And this was forwarded to me. It's the Mountain the Vista View, a Mountain Vista newsletter, September 2023. And this is the principal's message. It says, the Douglas County School District Board of Education voted to place a mill levy override and bond on the upcoming ballot this November. I know that everyone has already received letters, flyers, and other information on this measure, but I wanted to take some time to relay facts and specifics in regards to Douglas County Schools and Mount Vista. And then they go ahead and say, please take the time to understand all the facts and details surrounding this ballot measure. We are very thankful to have such a supportive community. Vista Nation is truly incredible. Thank you, Rob. I guess it's Siegley. And I guess that last sentence is probably his disclaimer that they're not really. I think this is close to electioneering to be using taxpayer funds to put out these kinds of newsletters without putting out the other side. I find that extremely frustrating. And so I am, again, I'm opposed to these two tax increases. First of all, the mill levy override is into perpetuity. There is no sunset on it. There's no opportunity to vote on it again. And the debt question will be doubling the debt of Douglas County School District. I do not think this is prudent at this time. Douglas County's enrollment is declining, and I do think that paying teachers more would be a good idea. There, and this is the other thing, as I looked at the financials, is it looks like the general administration has remained stagnant, which is probably good. But as I peeled more into the budget, it looks to me like what has happened is some of those costs for administration have been pushed down to different programs. And I think that many of these schools are very administrator heavy. And I think that perhaps we should take a look at how many administrators there are across the board and then because that money isn't really going into the classroom. It's supposedly probably for teacher support, a variety of things like that. But I think that maybe we should figure out a way to pay teachers more by reprioritizing some of the funds out there. So let's see. The other thing, I'm not sure if I mentioned it, government. Looks like we averted the shutdown. One of the headlines I saw said that one of the agreements was there was not going to be funding for Ukraine. It's like, really? We're going to put our country to the brink because of more and more funding to Ukraine when we have people right here in America, such as our veterans, that need help here. And of course, we've got and one of our listeners continues to talk about the open border and very busy on the text messages about that. And I am going to have the Center for Immigration Studies. I'm going to try to have them on once a month. And I think they're either on this week or next week. I can't remember, Joe. We've got so many things going on. But the show comes to you because of many great sponsors, and another one of them, those great sponsors, is Hooters Restaurants. And they have five locations, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And they have great specials Monday through Friday for lunch, and also Wings Day specials on Wednesday. How I got to know them is a really important story, my friends, about freedom and free markets and capitalism and government, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. You can check that out at my website. And another great sponsor of the show is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And Roger has been in the business for 47 years. And his office works like a well-oiled machine. They strive for excellence. But he's been in business 47 years, taking care of his family, giving back to his community, and taking care of his customers. So for that 24-hour peace of mind with the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team, you can reach out to them at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan Insurance Team is there.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Johnny Stubbs Services uses only the best quality products to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts is available to provide the proper guidance and help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Johnny Stubbs Services prides themselves on delivering prompt and reliable service and stands behind their work with a satisfaction guarantee. JohnnyStubbsServices.com, the trusted contractor for all your heating and air conditioning needs. That's JohnnyStubbsServices.com.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And on the line with me, as I've mentioned on the show, any candidate that reaches out to me, I will work to get them some time on the show. And there's a lot of school board elections going on right now, as well as city council and some mayor elections. And so, again, if you reach out to me, text me at 720-605-0647. And one of those candidates is Maria Sumnicht. Did I get that right, Maria? Help me with your name.
Yes, you did. It's exactly the way you said it.
Okay. Well, Maria, welcome. You are a candidate for Douglas County School Board. And first question is, why have you decided to throw your hat in the ring to be a candidate for Douglas County School Board?
So I'm running for District F, which is the eastern part of, so mostly Parker, part of Douglas County. And I decided to run for school board. I'm an immigrant to this country and a legal immigrant, and this country has given me so much that when I moved out here, I decided to run for an office. This one, it sort of just kind of fell into place. I've been, not that I came out here to run, I came out here for work. But it just things happened that prompted me to say, you know, I have to just stop complaining about everything and step up to the plate and protect the children. So that's, in a nutshell, why I'm running, because I just see a lot of things happening that that are just not right in the public school system.
So, Maria, question, what's your country of origin?
Colombia, South America.
Okay. And protecting the children is very important. Many times, Maria, I will see kids riding around on their bicycles and they have helmets on. And, you know, parents are wanting to protect their children. I grew up in a time where we didn't have helmets when we rode our bicycles. But I look at that and I'm like, parents really want to protect their children, but they're protecting the outside of their brains. But what we're learning with some of this curriculum going on the inside of their brains, if parents knew what was going on, I think they would be aghast. And so I think transparency in the curriculum mm-hmm. is really important. So transparency on the curriculum. And then I think that parents should be able to go into schools and see what's going on in the classroom. Where do you stand on that issue?
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree, because to me, my first teacher are my parents. And if once my parents send me out the door to learn some more, then they should also know what that curriculum is all about. And one of the things that has concerned me over the years, I have three children, is at one point, they actually went to the public school system, and I had to pull them out because they started to fall below reading and just all kinds of things. But there were the introduction of programs that had nothing to do with the basic curriculum that makes a child successful, that helped me be successful when I was a child. A lot of that is being removed and replaced with programs that have no educational or academic value. It started a while back, and just over the years it culminated when I was in New York City and I actually worked with the Board of Education there in the procurement of technology in the cybersecurity space. But you know, you see things, and you you know, all you can do is just shake your head. So parents must know what their children are being taught, and things like civics and history and a lot of these programs that are academics that have been taken out of the school and replaced with other, I'm just going to call it out, useless curriculum. That's wrong. This stuff needs to come back, because most children don't even know. I can ask them, what is the preamble to the Constitution? And they're like, what concept? They have no clue. They have no clue about our founding documents, and that is wrong. That is, and as an immigrant, somebody who had to study about the Constitution, about the preamble, we had to look at the Bill of Rights. We had to look at all the amendments and know what they were, and that has come almost gone from public schools. And that really needs to come back, because if the children don't know what kind of a country they live in, how blessed they are to be in this country, that this country gives them opportunities that no other country on this planet can give them, then they're going to stand up later in life and you know, and fight for it, because we're not seeing that anymore. We're seeing a lot of complacency.
Well, and the other thing is just the basics, reading, writing, arithmetic as well. You mentioned civics and history. Yeah. This used to be it's called really a classical liberal education. And I do encourage people to do a web search for the Saline County, Kansas 8th grade exam in 1895, and it'll bring new meaning to the term in 8th grade education. Maria, some other questions. You said you're running for District F. Is it only people in District F that can vote on this and vote on this election, or is it everybody throughout Douglas County?
It's everybody throughout Douglas County, but I represent the schools and the constituents in that area.
Okay.
But everybody votes. So District F, District A, and District C. So I'm running on a slate with Andy Jones and Jason Page, and they are also we're part of the best DCSD slate. So, because our children deserve the best. Andy is a United Airlines pilot and a former Navy pilot who flew planes off of aircraft carriers. And Jason is currently serving on the board. He was appointed, and he's an IT professional, extremely intelligent man. And together, it's just a core slate of concerned mothers and fathers that want to give back, and that's why we're running together.
And how many seats are there on the board, Maria?
There are 7 seats.
Okay. And last question, so Douglas County School District has 2 ballots, questions on the ballot this November. One is a mill levy override, and the other is an increase, in fact, over doubling the debt for Douglas County School District. Where do you stand on those, Maria?
Well, I'm one vote, okay, and so I can cast a vote. That both those bonds, the bond and the mill levy, are placed on the ballot for voters to decide. So if the voters pass that, then I will do everything to make sure that that money is spent the way it says it will be allocated. In other words, towards raising the salary of teachers, staff, and bus drivers. And the bond, which is going for more for overhead for the repairing of buildings, HVAC systems, buses, and the hiring of more bus drivers, I will make sure that those things happen, because that's where they say the money is going to go. And I will not have it diverted to administrative pay raises or hiring more administrative staff. Now, if it doesn't pass, then I will make sure that we look everywhere to find ways to save money so we can grab. Either way, I'm going to do this is look at the current staffing. Look at, you know, some of these programs. I come from corporate America and also working for a very large city where everything you did, if you didn't have metrics to show what was successful, what was working, what wasn't working, you know, you were questioned on whether you could execute on your task or not. And so I want to see where some of these programs have metrics behind them and say, okay, who are they benefiting? And can you show me the numbers? What is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And because I have a feeling that a lot of that hasn't happened yet, and I think money can be found in some of these programs. So, I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done, but currently right now it's a struggle because of there's a lot of political heel biting going on.
It's crazy how all that happens. So, Maria, these are such important elections. And how can people get more information about you, Maria Sumnick?
Well, they can go to bestdsd.com, and they can find out not only about myself, but also the other two candidates that are running with me.
Okay, I didn't get all that. I need the letters again. It's best, B-E-S-T, is that correct? And then what?
Yeah. D, so Douglas County School District. So bestdcsd.com.
Okay. Maria, thank you so much. I do appreciate you stepping forward. And again, that's Maria Sumnick, and that is bestdcsd.com. Maria, thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care and have a good day.
Absolutely. And you as well. We get to do these important conversations, get to have these important conversations because of great sponsors like Karen Levine.
With the limited number of homes in the Colorado Front Range market, Karen Levine can help you achieve your home buying or selling vision. Karen has the right connections, technology, and strategies to help you buy or sell your home or to purchase a new build. Whether you're feeling overwhelmed or want someone to take the wheel, or you just need a second opinion, you can rest assured that RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine is the right agent for you. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. Karen is the trusted professional who strives for excellence. That number is 303-877-7516.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999.
Our future depends on educated, informed, and active citizens. You could do your part by reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. That's popularrationalism.substack.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Text line is 720-605-0647. And wanted to mention the USMC Memorial Foundation. They are raising the money for the remodel of the Marine Memorial out here in 6th and Colfax. And we are coming into the end of the year. Of course, Veterans Day is in November. And so a great way to honor our veterans is to make a contribution. And then also with Christmas and right around the corner, a great gift would be to buy a brick to honor your loved one's military service that will be on one of the pathways of service. And you'll receive a beautiful certificate for that. So you can go to usmcmemorialfoundation.org to help them out. I'm really pleased to have on the line with me Matt Vadim. He is with the Epoch Times, and he is their reporter, and he reports on the Supreme Court and is their legal and justice reporter. So, Matt Vadim, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. And this week, the Supreme Court reconvenes, yes?
That's right. Today is the first Monday in October. So that is traditionally when the Supreme Court comes back from its summer recess.
So, Matt, I should know this. Is there two different sessions with the Supreme Court each year?
Well, there's the fall session and the spring session, but it's all part of the new, what they call the October 2023 term.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's two. It's the work year is divided in halves.
Okay. So what do you see coming down the pike that people should be watching out for regarding the Supreme Court?
Well, it's got a lot of cases that that sound kind of boring, you know, dealing with administrative law, but that are actually pretty important. That you know could have a great impact, and that the Supreme Court could use to scale back the power of government. The Supreme Court has a conservative majority. You know, 6-3, at least in theory, and they have done a lot of things in the last year or two to move the court to the right, and they may continue doing that in this brand new Supreme Court term.
Matt, you know, language is so kind of tricky, if you will, and when we say moving the court to the right, it seems to me it's moved so far to the left that moving to the right might be getting us just back to the middle. Do you say that's a correct assessment or not?
It's not a bad assessment. Things have been on the left for so long, but the conservative majority right now seems to be pretty serious about. Seems to be pretty serious about taking the court back from the extremes of the past, such as you saw in 2022, the court struck down Roe v. Wade, the abortion precedent, and it passed the New York State Rifle Association versus Bruin decision, which recognized for the first time ever a constitutional right to carry guns to defend yourself in public. So it's done things to right the wrongs, perceived wrongs of the past, and now it's it looks like it's going to continue doing that. But you know, the Supreme Court's not, you know, they're not going to do everything that conservative movement wants, but on the key issues, the court appears to be siding with the conservative movement.
Going to Roe v. Wade, I think it's important that people understand that in overturning it, what they basically did is they moved that decision regarding abortion away from the federal level to the state level. And I think a lot of people don't understand that, Matt.
I think that's about right, yes. The Supreme Court, the law about abortion had been, you know, abortions had been regulated at the state level prior to Roe v. Wade in 1973. And what the Supreme Court did in June of 2022 is they reversed that ruling so that after 49 years they just said, well, that was a mistake, and states are going to get to decide what to do about abortion. So you know, which is consistent with the idea of federalism, that states can, you know, do what they want, and that the you know, other states have to accept it instead of just forcing everybody in the country to follow the same rule, which was the Roe v. Wade rule, that abortions are just allowed, period.
Well, and Matt, my understanding in making that change is that, and one of the reasons, like, for example, Planned Parenthood was frustrated with that is because, in essence, by moving that decision from the federal level to the state level, then it might move the funding away from getting federal dollars from that. Is that right or not?
if there's no federal constitutional right to abortion, then there can't you're not likely going to see Congress funding abortion. But they could still do things like, you know, President Biden has tried to make military bases do abortions and whatever, and there's discussion about whether people should be given financial subsidies to go to other states to get abortions. But the idea of there being a nationwide, you know, federal right to abortion has been done away with. So that has weakened the ability. It's made it harder for people to get abortions in some states, though. There was a hysterical reaction to the court in 2022, and they said, oh, they're going to, all the conservative states, all the southern states are going to be banning abortion, and that's not the case. Abortion is still legal in most of these places. It's just that there are more restrictions on it, and you have to, the cutoff is earlier in the gestation period, right? It's only a number of weeks instead of instead of two-thirds through the pregnancy, as was generally the rule when Roe v. Wade was in effect.
Right, and out here in Colorado, I mean, we are at the tip of the spear on this issue as far as actually a baby can be aborted right up until the time of birth, which a lot of people are like, what? That's unbelievable. But I'm talking with Matt Vadim, and he is the legal and justice reporter, expert on the Supreme Court with the Epoch Times. And I have a lot more questions for him. We get to have these important discussions because of great sponsors like Lauren Levy and many other great sponsors as well out there. Wanted to also mention before we get to break here, as many of you know, last Thursday was our Colorado premiere of A Climate Conversation, which is a documentary. It was the brainchild of Walt Johnson, and it was a great rollout. It was sold out, and we will be looking at a Newsmax rollout of the film on Sunday. I think it's October 15th. And so be sure and check out www.aclimateconversation.com. That is aclimateconversation.com. And again, we get to have these great discussions because of great sponsors like Lauren Levy.
If you are 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms and Shooting Range keep their firearm and ammunition inventory up so you can get the lowest price at the best tax rate. Across the nation, inventory is down and sales are at record levels, leading consumers to pay higher prices at other businesses. Franktown brings in new items every week, which translates to lower pricing on your purchase. There are millions of first-time gun owners purchasing each year, showing that the demand is growing, and prices are rising to meet that demand. Whether you're looking for a self-defense carry, hunting game, or using your firearms and ammunition for pest control, the folks at Franktown are fully stocked and ready to get you the right firearm at the right price. And this family-owned, family-operated gun store and range is proud to have the lowest tax rate possible, saving you even more. Find out more about Franktown Firearms at klzradio.com/Franktown today and fill out the form to get half off your initiation fee on membership.
Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. I want to say thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show, and thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship of the show as well. And be sure and check out the Center for American Values. They are a non-political organization. They're located in Pueblo, Colorado on the beautiful Riverwalk. And they focus on a couple of things. The co-founders are Drew Dix, who is a Medal of Honor recipient for actions he took during the Vietnam War, during the Tet Offensive, and Brad Padula, who is an Emmy Award-winning film producer. And Brad and Drew came together. Pueblo's known as the home of heroes. There's four Medal of Honor recipients that grew up there, and they said, we need to honor these guys. And so they have their portraits of valor of our Medal of Honor recipients, many of them. And then also, but we've got to keep these principles of America alive and teach them to our children and instill them in ourselves of honor, integrity, and patriotism. And so check out AmericanValueCenter.org to get more information. They've got a new online course regarding civics for K through 12, so be sure and check that out. On the line with me is Matt Vadim. He is the Epoch Times Supreme Court legal and justice reporter. Matt, you've been writing extensively on all these things, and they are so important. First one, you published this just last week, says universities are evading Supreme Court's anti-affirmative action ruling. Congress has heard. What should people know about that, Matt Vadim?
There was a ruling a few months ago, June of this year, saying called in the Harvard and UNC cases, students for fair admissions versus Harvard, the students for fair admissions versus the University of North Carolina, saying that colleges couldn't use race in making their admission decisions anymore, and the colleges are going out of their way to evade that ruling right now, and Congress had a hearing. A congressional committee had a hearing about it a few days ago. The Higher Education and Workforce Development Subcommittee of the House Education and Workforce Committee, held a hearing about how the colleges are doing an end run around the Supreme Court's decision. And so a lot of people are upset. A lot of people are upset that the decision is not being adhered to. But then the people on the left showed up at the hearing, and Democrats sided with them. Witnesses for pro-affirmative action position were saying, "Well, diversity is so important. We need to do our best to just to go around this ruling and try and get unqualified minorities accepted, nonetheless."
Boy, there's the soft, maybe not just soft bigotry of low expectations. I just find that just rather remarkable. Matt, let's go to another one, and this is regarding social media. You had two articles within the last week or so. The first one was the Fifth Circuit allows the Biden administration to continue social media contacts. I never believed this would happen in our country, but it has, where government is actually and tried to influence, in a way, the press. I guess it has happened before, but what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, what happened is the federal judge made a finding that that the Biden administration could not communicate with social media companies for the purposes of encouraging them to censor users' content. And the Supreme Court, surprisingly, led by Justice Samuel Alito, a conservative, put a hold on that decision. And then while that decision was on hold a couple of days ago, the Fifth Circuit, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, I guess down in Texas, that we're going to put the decision of the lower court on hold while we consider this. And so, it's in a holding pattern right now where this decision that the Biden administration has stopped talking to social media companies to do censorship by proxy, I guess it could be called, has to end. That decision is being held in abeyance right now while the Fifth Circuit decides what to do. And so it's unclear if the Supreme Court's going to get involved in the case again. They may do so at some point, but right now it's in the hands of the Fifth Circuit, and the Fifth Circuit is deciding what to do.
Matt, no matter what side of the aisle that I'm on, I mean, I would just insert the name, put Trump. Would it be okay if Trump would continue to try to influence social media contacts? This, to me, is just not okay in America. I'm surprised that the courts are having such a difficult time with this.
Yeah, it does strike me as pretty strange, especially when we have a First Amendment, right? That the government's not supposed to get involved in making decisions about what views to allow, and so this decision by the courts right now, putting this decision by a single federal judge on hold, seems to be going against the First Amendment, and it's pro authoritarian. The government was accused of suppressing views on COVID-19, like where it came from and how it's to be treated, and things like whether the 2020 election that elected Joe Biden was fair. People who have taken the dissenting views in these cases have been censored, and been chased off of social media, Facebook and Twitter. Well, Twitter before Elon Musk took it over, and told that they're not welcome there. I'm pretty shocked that the courts are still allowing this to go on. So, but with luck, maybe the Fifth Circuit will decide this pretty soon, and then if they make a decision that's against freedom, it'll be back before the Supreme Court again. But we don't know what the Supreme Court's going to do. Remember that just because they temporarily put a hold on the lower court ruling doesn't mean that they're ultimately, going to keep the restriction in place, that they're going to keep the block in place that allows the government to continue speaking social media companies for the purpose of censorship.
Boy, it's a head scratcher on that, Matt Vadim. So let's go to another piece that you just recently published, and that is the Supreme Court will hear challenges to social media laws in Florida and Texas. So tell us about that, Matt Vadim.
Right, there are laws in Texas and Florida saying that social media companies can't, like Facebook and Twitter and what have you, can't do certain things, and so that they can't, they have to give users certain rights, and the one law in Texas was upheld by the appeals court, and then the law in Florida was struck down in part, and so what the Supreme Court decided a couple of days ago was that they're going to hear these cases about how social media companies get to regulate, get to moderate contents on their platforms. And people have been making the argument for some years now that social media platforms are the new town square, and that you shouldn't be able to just suppress viewpoints willy-nilly, because they're protected, and this is a new argument that they're protected under the First Amendment. Now, typically First Amendment doesn't regulate private behavior, but if social media has become the new town square, then, you know, it's taken on a different importance, a greater, you know, a different relationship with the public and with the government, and is entitled to some sort of protection. So that's what the Supreme Court is going to be looking at.
Boy, that is really fascinating. So this is all going to happen during this next session. And these are, like you say, in some ways you could go, oh, this is a little boring. It's not boring at all, Matt Vadim. These are things that really affect our lives, and it's super important. So, Matt Vadim, first of all, thank you for your expertise on this. And we have just about a minute left. What's the final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners regarding this upcoming fall session with the Supreme Court?
That you know, it's going to be pretty interesting. They're going to have to deal with a lot of interesting cases. The other thing is that the Supreme Court is bound to get drawn into Donald Trump's legal troubles at some point. You know, I'm sure it won't want to get involved because it doesn't like to get involved in that kind of thing. But these are important issues. While, you know, the former president is facing trial in you know, four different trials right now, from New York to Florida. They're going to, in Georgia and in the District of Columbia. You know, there's also the issue of whether Trump should be allowed to run again. And the people who hate Trump say he shouldn't be allowed to run again because they say that he tried to orchestrate an insurrection on January 6, 2021. An argument that he and his supporters reject, saying that, you know, the rioting on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol in D.C. Was simply a protest that got out of hand, as opposed to an organized effort to overthrow the government. But if he did, you know, is found to have tried to have overthrown the government, then the left-wingers here are saying, the Democrats are saying, that he can be barred under the 14th Amendment, you know, for engaging in insurrection against the United States. It strikes me as a far-fetched legal argument, but, you know, who knows if it'll actually get some support from courts, considering how hostile they've been to Donald Trump in the past.
Wow. Matt Vadim with the Epoch Times, thank you so much. This has been very informative. Thank you. And our quote for the end of the show is from Hayek. He said, there is all the difference in the world between treating people equally and attempting to make them equal. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's The Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths and misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome to our number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasure, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, my friends. We were made for this moment. Thank you to the team that I work with, producer Joe, producer Luke, Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Monday, producer Joe.
Happy Monday, Kim.
And in studio with me is my good friend, Kurt Gerwitz. He is a business and finance professor. And gosh, we've got a lot to talk about regarding the averting of a government shutdown, right?
Yeah, well, here we are again.
Here we are again, and we'll be here again. because they just keep kicking that can down the road.
Yes, I'll be here. So they passed a 45-day budget.
Wow.
So I'll see you again, Kim.
Yeah.
We'll come back in and we'll do it all over again.
Yes, we will. So, yes, Kurt Gerwitz. And I want to say thank you to the Harris family for their goal sponsorship of the show. And thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their sponsorship of the show as well. Check out the website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You will get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. There are two that we rolled out. The first was with Rick Turnquist's most recent essay on, let's see, how, now I got to remember what it is.
One was on the economy and the other one was on gender.
It is. So I had it to... Exactly wrong, I think it is. Democrats and sexuality. Okay, there we go. And the other one, and that's by Rick Turnquist. And then the other is by Nephi Cole, who is with the National Shooting Sports Foundation. And it's regarding the rifle, which is super interesting. So be sure and check those things out. Last week was our premiere, our Colorado premiere of A Climate Conversation. And want to make sure that we say thank you to both Rockley's Event Center. Barb Jensen has did a fabulous job. And if you're going to do an event, Rockley's Event Center out at 8555 West Colfax is a great place to do that. And then also a great sponsor of the show, and he was out there with his camera, and that was Glenn Jansen of Jansen's Photography. Glenn and Mary are true entrepreneurs. Mary was integral as well in making the event come off. And so whether or not you're needing, and these are such great memories and the treasures, and that is family portraits, portraits of children, senior portraits, or get that photo for your business or political career. Jansen Photography, that's J-A-N-S-S-E-N Photography.com is the place to go. So be sure and check that out. And let's see. Oh, the big vote by the Republican Colorado Central Committee on opting out of the open primaries. And as you really look at what happened regarding these open primaries in Colorado, Kent Theory, who has been wanting to change elections, I would say, and change elections so that it will be very difficult that people that really want to preserve and conserve this whole idea of America, that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, will make it more and more difficult for people such with those values to get elected. And one of the things he put well over $2.5 million into that open primary question, and in it, it was such a high bar to opt out. It was 75% of all the members of the Central Committee. And even though, and this is pretty remarkable, 259 members of the Central Committee voted to opt out, 143 and a half, I wonder who the half was, come on, step up the plate, voted a no on that. The yes was 64.3%. And in this country where the radical activist left is just trying to always have democracy, which is 50% plus one, which that can actually devolve into
mob rule.
Mob rule, yes. Here, this is pretty remarkable. So let's see. A couple of things. Again, Kurt Gerwitz is in studio. Our word of the day is insatiable. And basically, it's impossible to satiate or satisfy. Very greedy. And I just keep thinking of all of the government entities that want more and more taxes. And I said the insatiable appetite for government, cities, counties, school districts, and park districts, etc., to increase taxes will ultimately tax many people out of their property. Quote of the day is from Friedrich August von Hayek, also known as F.A. Hayek. He was an Austrian-British economist and political philosopher, made contributions to economics, political philosophy, psychology, intellectual history, and other fields. You know what? I think, I don't know if I told you this, Producer Joe, because I think this is, I need to look really quick, make sure I have my economists. There is a very easy read that I would highly recommend everyone. and it is Economics in One Lesson. Oh, no, it's by Henry Hazlitt. I got my H's mixed up. It's by Henry Hazlitt. So I ordered that for you, Producer Joe, for you and Producer Luke. I figured maybe next month we'll have a discussion on that. And I also ordered Bastiat's The Law, so the three of us can read that as well. So that is forthcoming, Producer Joe.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Okay, let's see. We're going to be talking with Kurt Gerwitz. He's a finance and business professor here in segments 2 and 3, focusing on that. But we have these important discussions because I work with many great sponsors. And I'm talking with Roger Mangan with the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And Roger, you suggested that we discuss this topic, comparative negligence. I don't even really know what that is.
Well, if you have an accident, we're in a car now. We're talking about car insurance. So if you're in an accident, and whatever the circumstances may be, unless it's clearly you're stopped at a stop sign, you're waiting there and someone rear-ends you, chances are it's going to be 100% the other party's fault and they'll admit it. But if you're moving and the other car is moving and hits you, comparative negligence can come into play. So some tidbits we haven't discussed before in your program, Kim, would be how does that work? Colorado is a modified comparative negligence state as opposed to a pure comparative negligence state. So, for example, there are 12 states in the District of Columbia that utilize pure comparative negligence as the basis for assigning liability. And Arizona, Alaska, California, Florida, Kentucky fall into that category. Modified comparative negligence, to confuse the matter even more, there is a different interpretation of modified comparative negligence. I am not an attorney. I'm not going to get into the legal what fors or questions related to this. I'm giving you a general description. So if you have an accident, please do not get out of the car, exchange information, waiting for the police, which, by the way, or who, by the way, rarely come anymore unless there's some bodily injury involved. So take pictures. Be sure that you are saying to them, don't say anything to them about it being your fault, because you don't know comparatively how the claim will flow in the process. So you exchange information, take photos, call the police, or at least file a counter report. And a counter report is the police won't show, so you have to go to the jurisdiction where that accident occurred and file a report over the counter. So it's called a counter report. Locate witnesses if there are any around. Very important, because it's your word against the other party's word. And who really determines the comparative negligence? Once a claim is filed with Company A and Company B, both adjusters look at the facts as they're presented, and from a police report, that would be a big help if they were there. They make a determination on comparatively who should have done what to minimize or avoid this accident. So there's rarely an accident that is 100% the tortfeasor's fault. Tortfeasor be the one that committed the situation, the liable party. So you end up waiting for the adjusters to work it out. And by the way, if the adjusters can't work it out, there's a system in place called arbitration, where let's say it's American Family and State Farm. Those two companies would submit to a group of other non-involved insurance companies, and that group of two or three people would make a decision as to breaking the tie and comparative negligence. So there are systems in place. So anyway, beware as a consumer, and call your insurance agent, get some more clarification, or your attorney if you want. And by the way, one of the attorneys I work with and refer a lot of business to is a guy named John Boson. He's been in Denver a long time, and I think it's important to deal with somebody who's very good at what they do. and John falls into that category.
Well, and that's a great endorsement, Roger. Boson Law is a relatively new sponsor of the show, and I really excited to work with him. And every one of the sponsors that I work with, they strive for excellence. They want to serve their clients well. And so, Roger Mangan, I'm so thrilled to have your team as a sponsor. And people can reach you at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
With the limited number of homes in the Colorado Front Range market, Karen Levine can help you achieve your home buying or selling vision. Karen has the right connections, technology, and strategies to help you buy or sell your home or to purchase a new build. Whether you're feeling overwhelmed or want someone to take the wheel, or you just need a second opinion, you can rest assured the RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine is the right agent for you. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. Karen is the trusted professional who strives for excellence. That number is 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And in studio with me is Professor Kurt Gerwitz. And he is a finance and business professor. And I don't know if I told you this, that I'm doing this, professor. But that is Dr. James Lyons Weiler has created this. It's called IPAC-EDU. And Dr. Jack is the founder of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. Through the whole COVID thing, and he and I have really come together, I would say, in our support of the Constitution. He's a New York liberal. You know, I'm a Kansas conservative, but we've realized we've come together through this whole COVID thing. He is an avid supporter of RFK Jr., I heard this weekend that RFK Jr. is going to run as an independent. Did you hear that?
Oh, wow. So, I mean, that party, the Democrat Party, really, wouldn't give him wouldn't let him have a voice, wouldn't give him a microphone, wouldn't debate. Yeah. They really shuttered him out, so... Imagine that, like this. So that's what happens when...
Could be interesting. So it's going to be interesting. I mentioned it in the first segment. Also, the opt-out vote was to have Republicans vote in Republican primaries, Democrats vote in Democrat primaries, and the central committees of each of the parties needed to vote on that. That big election was this last Saturday. And interestingly enough, it was a significant vote to opt out, but not that 75% benchmark, which would be impossible to get to, which the writers engineered it that way. So it was yes to opt out, 259, no, 143.5. Again, I'm find that interesting what the half was, but
how is there a half vote? That's a real question.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Anyway, but it was well over 60%, which I think is significant. So, but was not enough. And so now we'll continue to see that it'll make it more and more difficult to have people that I think really understand and want to conserve this American idea. I think it'll be more difficult to get them elected because one of the big, I'm now calling them the Republican consultant operatives. And they have controlled this Republican Party here in Colorado for many years. The veil is coming off, Kurt Gerwitz, on what is occurring with that. And so I don't know what's going to happen on all this, but people are showing their hands. In fact, when Mac Vadim in the first hour was mentioning that there are people that absolutely hate Donald Trump that are trying to keep him off the ballot, it's like... whether or not you like Donald Trump or not, you have a vote. Don't vote for him. But really here in America to try to prevent other people from having the opportunity to vote for that presidential candidate, that's a little questionable, Kurt.
I've always admired people like you, Kim, who will put on the rubber gloves and the the swamp overalls and crawl into the swamp and get their hands dirty and see how and actually like get into the how the sausage is made. I mean, you asked me to look at the federal budget process, and I looked into it, and it's just like, oh, this is why I've been avoiding this for the past 25 years of my adult life. It's just, it's messy, you know. It's like, how do you get things that you want? And the answer is like what you said, like, oh, well, you know, it's not just a vote. It's not a clean process at all. We'll write this to be 75%, so it's a higher hurdle.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we don't want that guy in office, so we're going to throw a bunch of indictments at him. And I mean, I think they're playing with Trump. They're playing for the settlement where he says he's not going to run for office. That's the whole game, I mm-hmm. think.
And then you have to, the next question is well, why don't they want him to run for office? And I think part of it is I think he understands the swamp. And he said that he wants to clean the swamp up.
Dave Chappelle on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
This video keeps popping up in my feed, and it's remarkable. He says, I watched on stage 2016, you had a black man, President Obama, and Hillary Clinton, a woman, and they were saying, oh, no, the system's not rigged, it's fine. And Donald Trump gets the microphone and says, the system's rigged, and I'll tell you how I know, because I've used it.
Oh, really?
And he says, in that moment, a star was born.
That's what Dave Chappelle said.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
It's stunning. I mean, the games that Trump plays, you know, he knows. I try to teach you this, that he said something. If you want to attract eyeballs, if you want to gather a crowd, start a fight.
Well, I guess that's true. Well, you might say that I am attracting eyeballs regarding the Republican operative consultant class. And I'm not calling them the donor class. That had been one of the things that I think people need to be careful of, because as I've gotten to know some of these big donors, I realize that these are businessmen and businesswomen that just want our country back. They just want to reclaim our state. And so the Republican operative consultants have relationships. They come in, they go, oh, this is the issue. This issue you need to get behind. Oh, this is the candidate you need to get behind. Write a check. But then guess what? The Republican operative consultants, they take a nice big cut as the money goes by, and they don't really care if the election is won or lost, because they got their cut. And so I will just make a little correlation on the opting out. First of all, the Republican operative class and some of their elected, they're supposed to be representatives, but elected politicians, ran a piece of legislation. It was Senate Bill 23-101, this was Republicans, which would have gutted the Assembly caucus process. So let's connect a dot then. And then those same that same Republican operative class has a petition gathering business, which if the only way you could get onto the ballot is via petition, then the price of those signatures just go up, and they're just going to make a lot more money.
Imagine that, if you follow the money.
Follow the money.
You know, a wise man once said, don't tell me your values, show me your budget. But, you know, I spent some time as a volunteer with the homeless, and 3 months lived in a homeless shelter.
And when was that? When?
2004.
Okay, and question
maybe 2005.
Is why?
For me, it was a religious devotion. I was doing what was called a pilgrimage.
Okay.
And it was an experiment. Our greatest happiness as humans does come when we're helping others. And so I was, you know, in my 20s, I was trying to save the world in many forms. And I spent about a year in the Jesuit order of Catholic priests. I went to what we affectionately call the spiritual boot camp.
Okay.
And so this was one of the few things we did. I took a temporary vow of poverty, chastity, and obedience, which is the opposite of money, sex, power. And
so you couldn't be in Congress then.
You know, I often think, I really do, I often think, couldn't we make them take a vow of poverty? I can't get over the question of, like, how did they get rich? I mean, watching Pelosi trade the stock market, mm-hmm. like, she's smarter than Warren Buffett, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. who's been doing it since he was 16, mm-hmm. is the world's greatest investor mm-hmm. of all time. And Pelosi beats him. Really? Mm-hmm. That corruption is so scary to me.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, homeless shelter?
Yes. Yeah, so, what point was I making there, Kim?
Well, let's see. We were talking.
Oh, the industrial complexes yeah, or okay. the incentives. It, you know, if you ask, you know, so this was, you know, many years ago. And so whenever you see an injustice, ask yourself, who's benefiting from that? And so I've come to understand that there's a homelessness industrial complex that is, you know, people's jobs are helping the homeless. Well, do you think those people want homelessness to go away?
No. But back in 2004, it was not nearly the industrial complex that it is now. There's billions of dollars that's going to this now. And I wrote a piece on this many years ago. I'm trying to find it on the homelessness industrial complex.
Yeah.
And you're never going to solve the problem when there's so much money going towards it.
And I was in a circumstances. So there's a group called the Catholic Workers. And you would love them for their radical Christianity. There's a line in Matthew that said, when... Jesus, did I clothe you? When did I feed you? When did I love you? And the answer, and Jesus says, whenever you did this to the least of my people. And so these radical Catholics, and God love them, literally, that they will just, that they're like, they have an image of Christ of the breadlines. So they were formed in the Great Depression, and they would just feed anybody. That's their whole thing. They just feed anybody. And so full of love, and I get the chills thinking about it. On the other hand, they're communists. They're absolute socialists, and the preferential option for the poor that the Catholic Church has is a beautiful thing, but you get, you know, the I'll say this about giving. I should know the name of the person who's first said this. There are five stages of giving, and the first one is when you give somebody something, you create appreciation. The second time you give something to someone, you create an expectation. And by the time you get to the fifth one, we'll just jump right to it, you've created a dependency. Mm-hmm. And so it's charity is, we have to be careful with charity.
Well, and Lincoln, I'm paraphrasing, I think it was Lincoln, he said, you know, we should not be giving something to someone that they can do themselves. And a friend of mine said that many times treating other human beings like pets, you know, basically feeding and clothing them or saying that you're going to feed and clothe them takes away the dignity of the individual. Kurt, you and I can agree that there is a small percentage of people that really may not be able to help themselves. They really do need help. But charity has done that. And this whole thing of giving, when government gives, that means they've taken something from somebody by force so they can give it to somebody else. That is not the proper role of government. This was not where we were going to go on this discussion.
Yeah,
but let's finish this up.
You mentioned the preamble to the Constitution earlier as like students may not be learning it. And I grabbed it for you. You might not like this. The purpose of the federal government, according to the preamble of the Constitution, establish justice.
Okay.
Ensure domestic tranquility.
Okay.
So that we can talk about how that's almost like a Chinese value. The Chinese really value harmony. They won't argue with each other the way we do. We think it's fun. They think it's chaotic.
Okay.
Provide for common defense. That one you do agree with. Mm-hmm. Promote the general welfare. That's where we get the word welfare from. Secure blessings of liberty to ourselves and posterity, meaning, you know, the future, like how we look historically towards in the future, how we will look.
Okay, so
it's
we're
pretty broad.
Talk a little bit.
You got welfare in there. You got domestic tranquility. That's so, you know, you got to be peaceful.
Okay. Well, The gauntlet has been thrown down by Professor Kurt Gerwitz, and I did want to talk about the Congress and funding as well, but I have in studio with me business and finance professor Kurt Gerwitz, and we're going to take on this general welfare when we come back, because that baby has been totally co-opted, and so you got me going here on a Monday morning, because the great discussions. And I want to mention the USMC Memorial Foundation, located out at the memorials out at 6th and Colfax, dedicated in 1977. It is time for a remodel. My friends, as we see these movements to take down our memorials and rename things, we must continue to understand, appreciate our history. We need to honor those that have been willing to give their lives or given their lives for our freedom. Now, I understand all the politics around a lot of different things over the years, but the fact that everyday people have stepped forward to fight tyranny and stand for liberty for us, we need to honor that. And you can help out by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. That's usmcmemorialfoundation.org. And you know what? I'm looking at this. I don't think I finished, Kurt, my thought. I'm taking this course with Dr. Jack. We got on to something else. But so he's put together these courses to partner great instructors with those that are intellectually curious. And I'm taking this course, and it is Literature as Resistance. Mm. And so we're going to be reading 1984, Fahrenheit 451, which I guess 451 degrees is where paper burns.
Right. It's the combustion temperature.
Okay. Let's see. Did I say Brave New World? And we're going to watch a movie from the 1920s, Metropolis. So it's going to be super interesting. So anyway, check out ipac-edu.org. That's ipac-edu.org. I just have so many things going on in this brain. I don't know what to say.
IPAC is spelled with a K.
Right. ipac-edu.org. Okay. Okay, and again, I get to work with wonderful sponsors, and one of those is Johnny Stubbs Heating and Air Conditioning Services. And we did our big rollout of our documentary, A Climate Conversation, here in Colorado last Thursday. And again, thank you very much to Rockley's Event Center, where we had the event, and also to Jansen Photography. Glenn Jansen was out there. But what really matters many times is just your own personal climate. And who can help with that is Johnny Stubbs Heating and Air Conditioning Services.
Johnny Stubbs Services uses only the best quality products to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts is available to provide the proper guidance and help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Johnny Stubbs Services prides themselves on delivering prompt and reliable service and stands behind their work with a satisfaction guarantee. JohnnyStubbsServices.com, the trusted contractor for all your heating and air conditioning needs. That's JohnnyStubbsServices.com.
If you are 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
Our future depends on educated, informed, and active citizens. You could do your part by reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. That's popularrationalism.substack.com.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. In studio with me is, I'm just laughing just because we have so much to talk about with Kurt Gerwitz, business and finance professor, but several things coming in on the text line, first of all. Regarding our question about the half vote on the 143.5, it is multiple, this is from Patty, multiple vice chairs in counties can have fractional votes. So if you had a lot of different vice chairs, I guess that's the way they
figured
that out.
The average family in the United States has 2-point-something children. Let's call it 2.3 children. I always wonder about that point third.
I wonder. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Next thing here. Okay. This is a question. How does opting out of open primaries help the GOP win elections? Clearly, they do not want to win. Where will they go when America falls? Ooh.
So that argument there is that and this circles back to the what happened over the weekend, okay. Is that the Speaker of the House,
Kevin McCarthy.
Yes. So he made a decision, you know, and his hand was forced by his incentives that he chose to go with the Democrats to get this 45-day budget passed, mm-hmm. instead of going with the Republicans, who were really wanted to see 30% cut in discretionary spending outside of military. They wanted to see strong immigration actions. We are leaving out the Ukraine support out of this budget. And what was I saying there?
Well, regarding that clearly they don't want to win elections. And that is what I've come to find out is that this operative class, consultant Republican operative class, would rather fight with Republicans than fight with these radical activist Democrats.
Well, that's the sausage getting made that we mentioned at the top of the hour. It's so ugly. So it's a question of like, well, if you win the primary with Republicans, you got to be the most Republican. But if you want to win the general with the independents and even some Democrats coming over and voting, you've got to be like center. And so there's the mix up.
Okay, and I hear that, but I think, Kurt, that I think if somebody is able to really articulate this idea of America, that first of all, we treat everybody equal because we are equal. We were created equal. If we have that, and then that we protect life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, I mean, I think the veil is coming off of this radical activist Democrats and where we're headed, that I think that if somebody can message it and really mean it instead of just saying it, I think maybe we could win elections.
Is that you, Kim? Are you going to run?
No. Do you know you're the second person in a week that's asked me it? And I'm like, no. I think this is where I'm supposed to be. Okay, let's continue on. Okay, immigration. This is beyond me that they would not figure out a way to secure our borders, that we would not have Kevin McCarthy all over that. I mean, that's going to win with Republicans, Democrats, and unaffiliateds who's seeing their towns just run over by this terrible policy.
It's a political pawn, like meaning that they'll sacrifice it. The Democrats won't. As I understand it, they won't come to the table on immigration unless they get guarantees on things that the Republicans just absolutely won't give them. And so they won't. So we have this stalemate, and the people hate when our politicians do this, when they can't solve something that's important to all of us. No one that I've ever asked is really like believes that we should not have a border. Everyone thinks that we should have legal immigration that makes sense, and we don't. And it's just like healthcare. We can't solve healthcare. We can't solve immigration. It's like, what are these clowns doing?
We can, but they don't want to.
They don't want to because they want something else.
Okay, you've nailed it. So let's talk about Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's right. So they want Ukraine. So I have mixed feelings on the Ukraine. I know that 90% of Republicans do not support our efforts in Ukraine. There's an argument that we're
Can I just stop right there? What do we see here? We see Democrats wanting to fund a war, and many Republicans saying, "No, we don't want to do that."
We flipped from the first Cold War to whatever version of the Cold War we're still in. Or that's a thing about humans, man. We get stuck in our culture.
Yeah,
like we ended the Cold War. Putin said, "What would it take for me to get into NATO?" Imagine that. We would have peace everywhere if Russia and the United States were like holding hands and like doing capitalism correctly. And then we said, well, you really can never, because we don't know how to think like that. And then NATO crept into Ukraine, and Putin's like, that's my backyard. That's like putting missiles into Cuba. Like, we would draw a line and say no. And Putin
We used to.
Yeah. Putin drew a line and said no. And then he invaded. He said, you guys can't, like, you know. And so America has made some missteps. Like, we've been kind of stomping on his territory and in his sphere of influence. And we just decided that, no, this is the creep of Europe and the Western civilization in it, and I would argue that's a good thing. So it's a complicated issue.
But Zelensky, I don't think has a halo and angel wings.
He was a high school teacher, and I got respect for that because I did that. My wife was a high school teacher for 10 years. I did it for two.
Yeah, I thought he was a performer as well.
Right. So that's the thing about him, is he understands his role as hero. And so he's not, this is why they're still in the fight, is Putin, you know, a normal politician who would not send their own children to war. Mm-hmm. Zelensky's not a normal politician. He knows that he's like a symbol. And so that's why they've been able to stand up against a juggernaut like Russia. But we seem to be so willing to let these Ukrainians die, and to send our, you know, there's an argument that we're sending our military inventory over there, which is good, because then it's going to clean out our inventory, and we're realizing that we don't have the manufacturing capacities that we need.
Kurt, but a little problem with that, and that's called China. If we're like, well, please don't invade our country. Just please, please, please. Of course, the invasion, our country is being invaded from the southern border, and also intellectually. It's been happening for quite some time. But so anyway, you had mentioned that Colorado senator had a tissy fit.
Yeah, Bennett threw a temper tantrum when he didn't see support for Ukraine in this 45-day bill. And what soothed his precious little heart was that the Republicans promised that that they will get together with the Democrats in the next, because we don't have 45 days of funding for the Ukraine war, and Zelensky's throwing a little temper tantrum himself. And so we did. They said, "Look, we'll put it on paper. We'll write it down that we will have this conversation, but right now it is midnight. It is an hour before midnight, and if we don't fund the government, then we'll have the shutdown. There's 4 million federal employees, there's 2 million active military that would suffer, and it's just to me an observation on human nature and negotiations that things get done at deadlines.
Well, but nothing's getting done regarding the border, and I know one of our listeners, I mean, he's all over that this morning. Let me just check something here. Okay.
While you're checking that, I have a few words I need to say about the deficit spending.
Okay.
It just doesn't make any sense to me what we're doing. In the last 50 years, only 5 times have we had a budget surplus. So the most recent time that we had a budget surplus was 2001, when I graduated undergrad. So that's 22 years ago. In the past 22 years, have we had a major global crisis such as World War II? We are currently spending. We have a budget deficit that looks like we're in World War II right now. Mm-hmm. And are these good investments? I mean, so we're spending six, or depending on who you ask, between $6 and $8 $1 trillion is how much we're spending. And it used to be like hundreds of millions was hundreds of billions was untouchable, and now we're in the trillions. So I'm always going to play this game with you, Kim. If you had 1,000,000 pennies, how high would it stack? We're going to say 1 mile high. Okay, that's 1,000,000 pennies. We can imagine a mile high. It's the distance from here to New Orleans in altitude. 1 billion pennies is 870 miles high.
Okay.
So that's the difference between 1,000,000 and 1,000,000,000, 870 miles high. So you're in outer space at that point. 1 trillion pennies, 870,000 miles. So that's to the moon and back and to the moon again. So I'm trying to teach, you know, my mission and purpose in life is to, you know, it's financial education. We've got to get this numeracy. And so people's eyes don't just glaze over when we talk about, oh, you know, just a couple billion for this, just a couple billion right. for that. Now we're starting to use the T word, trillion. Yeah.
Well, and I will have them on regularly, and that is the group, the Center for Renewing America. And they said that if we got rid of all the woke spending, pushing the woke agenda that is being funded through grants and all kinds of different things through our federal government, we could have a balanced budget within 10 years. We could do it.
Yeah, and here's my nightmare, is that over the next 12 months, 30% of our debt as a country, it needs to be re-upped, refinanced.
With these new interest rates.
And that's the thing, is we've had ZERP, zero interest rate policy. We've had very low interest rates since I've come out of my MBA program, since I was a baby in finance. And so no one knows how to even think about high interest rates anymore. So it's kind of interesting there. But yeah, when we refinance 30% of that debt, this month was the first time in history, or since I can remember, our interest payments right now, as we sit here, our interest payments are more than we spend on the military in the United States.
Boy, talk about not getting our priorities right. And but boy, they got 45 days of funding here. And Senator Bennett had made sure that there's going to be some funding for Ukraine. Meanwhile, down at the border, we have people coming across that these PBIs, politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, will want to tax everyday hardworking citizens to pay for all the benefits for the people coming across the border. I'm talking with Professor Kurt Gerwitz. These are such important conversations, and we get to have them because of great sponsors. One of those is John Boson with Boson Law.
A recent report notes that the number of children diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder is consistently and dramatically increasing. This is heartbreaking. If your child or grandchild or someone you know has been diagnosed with autism or ADHD following exposure to Tylenol or acetaminophen during pregnancy, call Boson Law at 303-999-9999. Boson Law is a Colorado-based law firm who has been fighting Big Pharma for over 20 years. Call now at 303-999-9999 for a free, no-obligation review of your potential claim. Call now at 303-999-9999.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms and Shooting Range keep their firearm and ammunition inventory up, so you can get the lowest price at the best tax rate. Across the nation, inventory is down and sales are at record levels, leading consumers to pay higher prices at other businesses. Franktown brings in new items every week, which translates to lower pricing on your purchase. There are millions of first-time gun owners purchasing each year, showing that the demand is growing and prices are rising to meet that demand. Whether you're looking for a self-defense carry, hunting game, or using your firearms and ammunition for pest control, the folks at Franktown are fully stocked and ready to get you the right firearm at the right price. And this family-owned, family-operated gun store and range is proud to have the lowest tax rate possible, saving you even more. Find out more about Franktown Firearms at klzradio.com/Franktown today and fill out the form to get half off your initiation fee on membership. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Of course, taxation is force. I'll just plant that little seed there. Thank you to the Harris family for their sponsorship of the show, and thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their sponsorship of the show as well. And I want to mention the Center for American Values. It is a non-political organization focused on two things: honoring our Medal of Honor recipients and also creating programs for school age kids, but also I think in teaching them, also for us as adults, that that teaches these foundational values of honor, integrity, and patriotism. They just rolled out recently a new K-12 civics course online. And so be sure and check that out at AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. Okay, let's see. Next thing, Kurt, you've got a couple of things. I'm talking with Kurt Gerwitz, finance and business professor. There's a couple of things that you wanted to let people know about.
I always want to talk about the best in finance and investments class in all of Colorado over at Regis University. It's the capstone of the MBA course where you specialize, if you specialize in finance, which we do have a undersupply of financially skilled professionals, so you should come in. And it's we do a deep dive on a publicly traded company that's headquartered in Colorado. We've got about between 100 and 130 publicly traded companies in Colorado. Of the 10,000 that are publicly traded in the United States, 100 of them are here. And you can come learn about one in a deep dive. But I also have started to talk about them as a group. So that's my first plug. My second plug.
And can people get them, these reports?
Yes, the reports are free and publicly available. And the best way to find them would be to Google search Anderson Reports at Regis.
Anderson with an A, or A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm confident that even if you misspelled it, Google will correct you and find.
Of course it will.
We do have a website, and I'm super excited. There are four reports up there. I love telling these stories of they're nationally, internationally significant companies, and they're in our backyard.
Mm-hmm. And so, again, AndersonReports.com.
No, don't have that yet. Oh. Anderson Reports, just Google search or DuckDuckGo search Anderson Reports at Regis, and the new website comes up there.
Got it. Okay. And then you had a second item.
I do, and maybe a third. But the second item will be I have taken a job as a consultant for the SBDC.
So SBDC is what?
SBDC is the Small Business Development Center.
Okay.
In Colorado, there are, I'm going to say, 14 of them, all dispersed geographically all over the state. And in the United States, there's like 1,000 of these. This is a government program that provides. Yeah, you're welcome. This is your tax dollars at work, and so I'm getting paid by the tax dollar here. They get 50% of their funding from the SBA, the Small Business Administration. This is industrial policy to promote startups. So anybody who has an idea, or you may already have revenue or not, you can get a free hour with me by going to Denver SBDC and signing up for the free consulting that we do. It's actually tremendous, and they'll not me, but someone else will give you a free hour of legal consulting. That's really nice. And the other thing that they do is low-cost training. So it's subsidized training on skills such as, you know, the financial skills that you'll need to run a company, but also the marketing and the how to do business with, you know, internationally, or how to become a government contractor. Mm-hmm. So lots of different ways mm-hmm. to get trained up to be an entrepreneur. So if you've got that idea, let's have a conversation.
Okay. And then the next thing?
I'll do the third one. Put these recordings of our conversations of this show, I put them up on my YouTube channel.
And oh, so
you
okay.
You can follow our thread, just the relationship between Kim and I as we embark in this journey of learning together. They go up. I'm putting them up on my YouTube channel. And you just got to search for me, Kurt Gerwitz. There's one other Kurt Gerwitz in the United States, some professor in California, but he's older than me, so has less of an internet footprint than I do. You'll find me, K. Gerwitz. Even if you misspell it, I suspect I'll show up.
And it's G-E-R-W-I-T-Z. Okay, we've got a couple of minutes left. general welfare. I have pulled out my Constitution, Kurt Gerwitz. And when it says in the Constitution, general welfare, which I know has now been used by PBIs to take money from one person for government programs, for welfare for others, that's not what they meant. They meant general welfare. And the perfect example, and I used this when I voted no against the Southeast Light Rail Extension, which was over $200 million for 2.3 miles. And there was a $92 million New Starts grant coming in from the Obama administration, which you connect the dots. They wanted to get these trains built so ultimately they can take away people's freedom of mobility and get them out of cars and put them on trains and buses and bicycles and walking around, fast forward to 15-minute cities. But what I base this on, and this was from John Eastman, a great constitutional professor, was he said that what the founders meant was general welfare was something that benefited the whole country. So there was a president back in the 1800s that vetoed funding that Congress had approved for a road in the Cumberland Gap because it benefited them regionally, not generally. But they did approve funding for lighthouses up and down the eastern seaboard so that the commerce that would come in via the safety of these lighthouses would actually benefit the general public. So it's not welfare. It's general that I think that we really should be focusing on. You've got a minute to respond.
Well, Kim, you could not be more wrong about trains. Trains are romantic. They get us out of our cars. I don't feel like I have the liberty. I don't have the choice in my life between owning a car or taking the train. I have to own a car. And that's been American economic policy for way too long. Cars make us.
For way too long?
Yeah. The American suburbs are the greatest misappropriation of resources in history, and that includes our world wars.
You better be careful if you want to get invited back.
I'm going to lose all those compliments I got from your listeners are coming. They're like, I was wrong about him. He's an idiot. Cars make us they make us psychologically evil. We have car when you get in your car and you get car brain and you think that that pedestrian or that bicycle in front of you is actually slowing you up, but on your 15-minute ride it's not even 1 or 2 minutes, but you feel differently about that, and
then
you hate everybody else in the car. We'll pick this up
pick this up, Kurt Gerwitz. Let me just put it this way. I think freedom of mobility, which is ultimately what cars offer us, is something that people should have the choice. And when you see government money that is being used to assault that freedom of mobility, that is not okay. So we'll keep that as a cliffhanger for, okay, you can come back next month, but we'll have to take this on. So my friends, Hayek said this, there's all the difference in the world between treating people equally and attempting to make them equal. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you and God bless America.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.